Hello, Seattle. This is Dr. Crasia Frayne, and I'm listening to Smart Asses Radio with Johnny Video and Geek Goddess Jackie.
Oh, for the love of God, my internet cut out. Roz!
Holy podcast, Batman!
Right, you are, Robin. To the Batcave! We've got to listen to Smart Asses Radio. Hurry, chump!
Smart Asses Radio. Hot chicks, geek culture, and unbridled smartassery.
This is madness! This is Smartasses!
Hey, Homer.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Krusty, Bonnie, Sideshow Bob. What are you guys doing over there?
We're listening to Smart Asses Radio.
Yep. Sure are funny.
I beg to differ. I find their sophomoric humor to be anemic at best.
Don't put a sock in it.
Yeah, well, we'll put a stick up your butt.
To become a smartassaholic, check out our online magazine at smartasses.net for replays of our radio show's audio humor, pay-per-view predictions, the Smartasses Hot Chick of the Month, and official Smartasses paraphernalia, as well as entertainment articles, videos, celebrity news, free sarcastic e-cards, geek culture, and one of the four largest annual top 100 sexiest women lists in the world. Looking for more smartasses? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartasses.net. You can also find us on funnierdie.com @smartassesnet. And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr at smartassesnet.tumblr.com.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will make you listen to Smartasses Radio.
Good luck.
Hey, smartasses, it's the governor over here. When I'm not filming my movies or porking the maid, I'm sure as hell not putting my ear to the computer and listening to your show. Fuck you. And that horse you put the saddle on. I won't be back. Fuck all of you.
To interact with Smartasses Radio live on the air, follow us on Twitter and tweet your thoughts to the hosts at SmartassesNet using the hashtag HailJackie. Smart Asses Radio. To call in and talk to the hosts, dial 646-478-5863. Or click on the blue letter S to call in via Skype.
Somewhere over the rainbow lies a pot of gold that's sure to make your next fundraising event a huge success. Rainbow Dust, the innovative and exciting project that is a must-have for any fundraiser, is the hottest interactive candy product on the market today. Visit www.myrainbowdust.com to see how Rainbow Dust can add magic to your next function. Find out why kids will be standing in line for their turn at making their own delicious Rainbow Dust candy creation. Use the promo code Radio2 to receive free ground shipping. MyRainbowDust.com. Let the magic begin.
Men make hot women chase, fantasize, and worship you. Women, getting and holding on to that quality guy will be a cinch. Cool seduction for the modern sassy girl to get your guy today. Men, it is packed with a crazy amount of information. Start now and get the hot girls. CoolSeduction.com. The good news is this seduction can be learned today. CoolSeduction.com. Seduction for men and women. CoolSeduction.com.
Lose weight quickly, easily, and naturally with the Weight Loss Watch. 311, the Weight Loss Phenomenon, is a new, innovative, and unconventional weight loss program. With 311 and the Weight Loss Watch, losing weight is practically effortless, requiring nothing more than eating the same food you already eat. Based upon a simple time and calorie principle, just wear the Weight Loss Watch, eat of the beef, and lose weight. Experience for yourself how easy losing weight can be. Visit eatofthebeef.com to find out more. That's eatofthebeef.com. Home of the Weight Loss Watch.
To become a smartassaholic, check out our online magazine at smartasses.net for replays of our radio show's audio humor, pay-per-view predictions, the Smartasses Hot Chick of the Month, and official Smartasses paraphernalia, as well as entertainment articles, videos, celebrity news, free sarcastic e-cards, geek culture, and one of the four largest annual top 100 sexiest women lists in the world.
Are you tired of dating sites with fake profiles and no replies? Try TalkToSingles.com. That's talk, then the number 2, singles.com. Join TalkToSingles.com absolutely free and start meeting great singles in your area tonight. Why wait when you can drastically improve your search for romance, relationships, and love? If you're between the ages of 20 and 60, then you just found the way to find romance on the internet. Begin your search at TalkToSingles.com. That's talk, then the number 2, singles.com.
Hello, has this ever happened to you?
What's the matter, buddy?
Kramer, Kramer, I have to buy my girlfriend a gift, and I've only got $5 worth of loot.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem.
Oh, do you believe this guy? What do I do?
Yeah, you need to put on your thinking cap, buddy.
He sounds just like me, Jerry.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Johnny Video, baby.
Come on, Newman, think.
He doesn't sound anything like you.
I know. I'll get her a personalized celebrity voice impersonation greeting from Johnny Video.
Giddy up.
Sorry, Jerry. I like him.
He's terrible, George. He's terrible.
Whoa. Someone's getting crabby. You need to eat more fruit. Plantains, Jerry. Plantains.
My fellow Americans, you know, we are living in troubled economic times. So, I would highly suggest you order personalized $5 celebrity voice impersonation greetings from JohnnyVideo.net for your next gift-giving event. I'm not President Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Looking for more smartasses? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartasses.net. You can also find us on funnierdie.com @smartassesnet. And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr at smartassesnet.tumblr.com.
The Grand Hotel. Lewis's successful life is deceiving. His wife Pearl is still haunted by the sins of her youth. Yet something strange is brewing at the Grand Isle Gala. Suddenly, rivals' desire for power takes an ugly turn. Discover what will happen amidst the glamour and glitter of the annual gala, where a night of crime, of seething passion, ignite and explode. The Grand Hotel by author J.A. Jackson. Available exclusively at Amazon.com and Kindle Store.
When you've been lifting barrels and bales of hay and anvils and machine parts and 40-foot fuel injectors for the next space shuttle mission and bags of dirt around in your Ram truck all day, driving through 30 inches of mud in your Levi's jeans in the 100-degree desert in the middle of a nor'easter snowstorm while it's raining, cats and dogs in the Grand Canyon, and getting your Lee denim jacket and that 20-gallon cowboy hat of yours all wet while you're trying to eat your beans and tell tales of rustling cattle in your Ford Bronco while you smoke a Marlboro and a Camel next to your buddy Chevy Silverado while you're doing shots of whiskey and talking to the Undertaker about that tumbleweed that just blew by while you were thinking about beef and chewing skull bandits in the mountains of Montana while you're sitting around that campfire in your lamb's wool jacket and heating up that branding iron, scouring the boundary lines of that ranch you got in the good old heart of Texas while you're barbecuing spare ribs in the back of that Toyota Tundra and polishing your Colt 45 while you rub salve on those chafed thighs of yours you got from riding steeds and the handshake of that trusty old saddle while you're out herding buffalo and roping steer and wondering where your next pair of chaps and silver spurs are gonna come from as you're washing down that dust with an ice-cold bush and shooting tin cans off a fence post and growing mustaches with the sheriff. That's where Smartass's Radio comes in. Smooth as a mountain stream.
To interact with Smartass's Radio live on the air, follow us on Twitter and tweet your thoughts to the hosts at SmartassesNet using the hashtag HailJackie. Smartass's Radio. To call in and talk to the hosts, dial 646-478-5863. Or click on the blue letter S to call in via Skype. And now, back to Smartass's Radio.
Smartasses Radio, folks. We are in the midst of our second annual Brianna Garcia Week celebration. It's a little like Mardi Gras around here. Beads, people drinking on balconies. Actually, it's not like any of that, but we're going to pretend that it is, and we would like it to be. So anyway, as I said before, since it is Brianna Garcia's birthday, March 6th, that means it is Brianna Garcia Week here at Smartasses. And in lieu of phony news this week, because we don't want to upstage Brianna Garcia, instead, we have not one, oh my God, not one, but two songs from Brianna Garcia's band, Lust and Lies. Now, the first song you're going to hear is called Tell Me the Reason, and song number two is called Into the Sea. And now, if you want to, again, tweet us on Twitter. Use the hashtag HailJackie. Talk to us in the chat room. I'll be looking in there. Tell me who the band reminds you of, because I cannot, I have some ideas, but I cannot quite put my finger on it. So without further ado, here's the first song, Tell Me the Reason, and then the second song will be Into the Sea.
Take
powers. The ocean burns, but not in our favor. A million lives never to prosper. Let them die, let the corpse drink up the water.
Songs by Lust and Lies. I'll tell you what, I have not listened to heavy metal in a long time just because, yeah, you know, you get older and I don't feel like getting all pumped up. I listen to a lot of classical, but holy moly, does that make me want to start listening to metal again. My God, just the bass line alone in that second song was phenomenal. Man, I'm not lying. I'm not bullshitting just because it's on our show. That was some freaking awesome music right there. So anyway, on that note, please stay tuned, folks. We do have a great show lined up for you, obviously, this week. In the second hour, we're going to have, from the upcoming live-action sci-fi web series Starfall, the Collector and Napoleon Dynamite actress Ellen Dubin, who we are very excited to talk to. We've got so many questions to ask her. We could probably take up two or three shows. And then, of course, right after the break, you just heard her. We will have Smartasses Magazine's Miss April, May, June of 2013, our guest from back on March 11th, 2013, the guest of honor for Brianna Garcia Week, Brianna J. Garcia. So stay tuned, folks. We will be right back in just uno momento.
Wrestling Weekend on SmartMarkRadio.com.
Sue Young.
I'm not afraid. Oh, my God. You did not just call me out. Really? Literally, no? You just call me out like that? How dare you? I have a cold, sir. Like, and then you're going to be calling me out of word sense like that.
Lanny Poffo. Lanny, thank you very much for being on the show this week.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, and I'm living in the past.
Miss Tefmacher.
You know, obviously, I was with Kelly and Layla, and we had no choice but to get close, and then over time, you know, it becomes natural. But it is, seriously, you eat a shit sandwich every day for a very long time.
Mr. James J. Dillon.
You know, you talk about the greatest manager of all time. I've always regarded Bobby the Brain Heenan as the guy that set the standard for the rest of us.
Camille Ford.
What do you do other than watch my show?
I watch your show and sleep. That's it.
I bet you have the body of a 19-year-old athlete with a schedule like that.
Yes. You ever seen those pictures of Zeus?
You literally are the Greek god.
whatever, Diamond Dallas Page.
You want to know what I really thought? I thought, these guys know what they're doing. This is the WWF. I've got no heat here. This is just going to bring out the best in Taker.
Yeah, Kim, welcome to the show.
That's why I've always been happier here, is that they really like to feature the girls. They really like us to show off our athletic ability and, you know, be beautiful at the same time.
Sunday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Smart Mark Radio. Did you know you can advertise on SmartS's radio for as low as $2.50 a month? Visit SmartS's.net or SmartMarkRadio.com and click on the advertising link at the bottom of the page. Want to catch all of Smart Mark Radio on your Android? Go to SmartMarkRadio.com and download our Android app for only $2.99. Want to keep up with SmartS's radio? Subscribe to our RSS feed on SmartMarkRadio.com. Looking for more smartasses? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartasses.net. You can also find us on funnierdie.com @smartassesnet. And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr at smartassesnet.tumblr.com. This summer.
Well, good morning to you too, sleepyhead. How about some bagels in bed and an afternoon crossword puzzle?
CIA agent Brian Mills returns.
Kim, find your mother and dial 911.
In the sequel to the sequel to the sequel.
Someone has taken our Sunday paper again.
What are you going to do?
All right, I'm going to leave a note on the door. How's this sound? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for coupons, I can tell you they won't save you that much money. Oh, I also have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for paperboys like you. If you return my newspaper now, even if it's just the comic section, and maybe the sports section. Yeah, I like sports. Oh, and my wife does want to do the crossword, but that's it. You do that, and that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will bend your bicycle wheel.
Liam Neeson stars in Non-Stop Taking Sunday Paper. Coming soon to a theater near you.
To become a smartassaholic, check out our online magazine at smartasses.net for replays of our radio show's audio humor, pay-per-view predictions, the Smartasses Hot Chick of the Month, and official Smartasses paraphernalia, as well as entertainment articles, videos, celebrity news, free sarcastic e-cards, geek culture, and one of the four largest annual top 100 sexiest women lists in the world.
Hello, adult boys and adult girls. This is DJ Rhiannon telling you that you need to spice up your sexy time right now. Did you know that accessories in the bedroom are a must? Well, they are. And you are absolutely missing out if you haven't bought anything from Pure Romance by Melissa Leaf. This online store has everything. From must-haves like battery-operated vibrators to make you squirm in your panties, to sex toy classics like Mr. Dependable or the Double Banger if you really want to get the party going. But she also carries tons of fun warm-up accessories too, like lingerie, bath and body products, books, and fantasy foreplay stuff like blindfolds, cozy cuffs, tie-me-up tape, floggers, crops, nipple clamps, and I'm feeling spicy just talking about it. Pure Romance by Melissa Leeb is the ultimate one-stop shop for your sexy time needs. Check out our site and see what tickles your fancy. MelissaLieb.pureromance.com. Adult boys and adult girls, you know all of us desire and deserve good quality sexy time. So, all of us desire and deserve Pure Romance by Melissa Leeb.
Nothing spells a Carps baseball game like a bag of Bobby O's potato chips.
Hi, Uncle Rose.
Oh, no.
Can we have some of your Bobby O's potato chips?
No. If I've told you kids once, I've told you 1,000 times. You can't have any of my Bobby O's potato chips.
Aw, come on, Uncle Rose. Even Fluffy wants some.
Oh, no. Not you, too.
Yes, everybody loves Bobby O's potato chips. Available now at your local Boondock, Montana grocer.
Hello, Carps fans. It's me, Lefty Mayshak, the old Nuxa. You know, using the Nux on my left hand won me a lot of games for the Boondock Carps, but they're not all that great for enjoying a handful of tasty Bobby O's potato chips. Bobby O's potato chips. They're salty, they're crunchy, and now available in lemon, lime, and grape.
Hey, when I'm not busy being the governor of Montana.
Jesse, you were never the governor of Montana.
Oh, what the hell do you know, McMahon?
My name isn't McMahon.
Anywho, when I'm not busy being the governor of South Dakota or telling you about conspiracies, I'm listening to Smartass's radio, eh?
Jesse, you were never the governor of South Dakota either.
Aw, oh, Montana, South Moncota, who cares? They all grow potatoes better than they do in Colorado.
To interact with Smartass's radio live on the air, follow us on Twitter and tweet your thoughts to the host at SmartassesNet using the hashtag Hail Jackie. Smart Asses Radio. To call in and talk to the hosts, dial 646-478-5863. Or click on the blue letter S to call in via Skype. And now, back to Smartass's Radio.
All right, welcome back, folks. She is, well, I don't even know why I needed to introduce her because everybody knows who she is right now, but I'm going to go through the motions. She's a model. She's the lead singer of the band Lust and Lies, Smartasses Magazine's Miss April, May, June of 2013, and our 2013 number 69 Sexiest Woman Alive, Brianna J. Garcia. Welcome back to Smartasses Radio.
Hi, thanks. Great to be back.
Yep. So, first of all, happy birthday. We got, about 2.5 days now, right? March 6th?
Yep, 2.5 days.
Yep. Yep. So
thank
are you, are you enjoying the first couple days of Brianna Garcia week?
Does yes, like I am. I appreciate it.
No problem. It's supposed to feel like Mardi Gras, so hopefully on your end out there in L.A., you're passing out beads, you know, you're handing out Mardi Gras-colored beer, whatever that might be, you know, just joining in.
Yeah, the festivities are starting now that I've been able to join you.
Right. So, well, I mean, in the past we've had Megan Fox Day. Which is, I don't know, just kind of like, it's kind of like Martin Luther King Day, but it's just Martin, you know, Megan Fox Day. Then we've got Avrilmas, which is a holy celebration of Avril Lavigne's birthday. And then for you, you actually get the whole week. So you're in good
wonderful
company there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So not too bad. So anyway, so how about the Oscars? You and the band ever take an empty hat and go play unplugged on the red carpet for $100 bills, or you get involved in the Oscars at all, or what's going on there?
We didn't head out over there, and I didn't even watch them, but my whole street was blocked off. It was like craziness, people trying to get in, and just, I live like right near where they do all that, so it's a lot of madness and stuff, a lot of helicopters.
Oh, wow. God, it probably makes it difficult to sleep.
Yeah, definitely. And the Oscar night, it was helicopters all night. And I think last year on the Oscars, Eric got his car towed because we had to park outside because we went out or something. And, of course, because of the Oscars, they towed, like, every car that was parked, like, at night.
Jeez.
Ridiculous. Yeah, they like, and it's already horrible parking in Hollywood, so it's just like Armageddon if you're not in the middle of it all.
Right. So you guys go out to have a nice dinner or something, and nothing even to do with the Oscars, and they tow your car?
Yeah, you can't have your car like parked anywhere by the Oscars or by like the events like after a certain time. And like when we originally went to where we were going, it was before that time, and there were people parked there, and like directly after, we didn't know that they were going to clear it out. It's really ridiculous. But LA is run on parking. Anyone who lives here knows it's like you get a ticket for anything.
Jeez. So what's it cost to get your car back out? I know like here in Columbus, Ohio, it's like $100, and even that's like steep. What's
about
it out
$450.
There? Jesus, God.
It's $200 for the car just being in there. If it's there more than a day, it's another $200. And then if it's like, because we have a big van for moving equipment and stuff, so if it's like oversized, you have to pay the 2 days anyways. So that's why it was $450 for us, because I think it's like $50 to get it out. It's ridiculous.
God. So when you say people were being like ridiculous for the Oscars, what's going on? Are they?
Just like people. I mean, you just see these people dressed up, hilariously drunken, like just like hanging out outside, ever just like trying to see anything, trying to see the red carpet. There's so much security around it. People, you know, just like taking pictures outside ridiculously, and then everybody's, you know, super dressed up. Everybody's pretty much just drunk, like all over the boulevard, just taking selfies, and it's a hilarious mess.
Is it like that for like, is the Oscars like the zenith of that, or do they do it for like the Grammys?
The Oscars, Grammys, every time there's an award show going on, it's like everybody is just on the boulevard. They close off like most of the streets, so everyone's like congested in small areas just trying to get selfies and trying to get pictures of anything and stuff. So anytime there's an award show, it's pretty hard to be on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. I'm in my head, I'm kind of comparing it to, because I grew up in Canton, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and of course, Hall of Fame weekend, they would do, well, they used to do a parade the morning of. I mean, everything kind of used to take place just on Saturday. Now it's kind of spread out, but as a result of people trying to get the best seats for the ensuing morning parade, people would kind of camp out all night, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew into a thing to where the Friday night before Hall of Fame was just, the whole city of Canton was just people dropping acid and smoking pot and riding around in pickup trucks with beer and all that. Is there anything like that going on too?
I mean, there's whole clans of people who do that daily in Hollywood. We have so many people that like come here, I guess, with like multiple aspirations and end up, I guess, but there's many reasons why, for one way or another, they end up, you know, homeless, and then it stays happening longer. And there's just like, there's groups of people who are maybe like 5 or 10 people, and they're usually like all fucked up. One of them is begging for something, and they have like a dog with them, and they're all tripping out. But during the awards, there's always a good amount of drunk people, but it's more just people that are just drunk and just excited and just wanting to be a part of it.
Right. I think it'd be funny to just sit and watch people try to sneak in, like if you could even get close enough to do that, you know, people that actually go.
People try to go around in the back. I saw some, you know, ladies all dressed up, cute drunk, trying to, you know, talk to the security guards and stuff, and it's, you know, they're like, it's not happening. You guys are like falling around, like, you guys aren't going to go to the Oscars today.
I could just picture that. One of them's trying to be all sexy to seduce the guard, and the other one's going, do you know who I am? And, you know, of course, they're
both Exactly.
Yeah. Some dude renting a tux just so he looks the part. That would be awesome. So, anyway, I kind of want to talk about your band a little bit. You probably know which two, but we played during the break. We played Tell Me the Reason and Into the Sea. And, man,
yeah,
I got to tell you, dude, like, I haven't listened to metal in a long time. I used to be a big metalhead, but as you get older, it's just like, I don't feel like putting that much energy, you know, and you turn on some Sade or classical music or something. So it's been a while for me, and so I listened to it, and I mean, I noticed myself jamming to it. Like, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. Like, I love both of the songs there, especially Into the Sea. My God, the bass line on that was so freaking cool. Like, it was awesome songs. So.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we just redid all our studio equipment, so we're actually re-recording those songs and doing shorter radio versions. So, like, everyone who has these ones will have the originals, but they're going to be a little different, and we're almost done re-recording them, and we're doing a music video for one of the songs I didn't give you that we're redoing also, called Come Alive, and we're doing a music video for that on my birthday on Thursday. And that should be a lot of fun, and hopefully, and the song is, like, we've been working just on the format for so long. I'm just so happy that everything's coming together, and I really appreciate that you said you liked it, because we really do work hard to make the music a big thing. You know, I think a lot of people just do so much generic stuff lately, and we really wanted to bring a lot of, every instrument has its own thing going on.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not Nickelback, you know. Like, I mean, there's actually some creativity to it, and it's good stuff. So, when you guys play gigs out there, I assume you guys always play original material, but it made me think there probably aren't too many cover bands out in L.A. Probably everybody playing gigs is doing original stuff, right?
Yeah, there's some cover bands that do, like, specifically just, like, one band. I mean, Led Zeppelin's really big here. Then there's another, like, Led Zeppelin band that's all girls, and there's a couple of cover bands, but not too many. We do some covers when we perform live. We do like Mr. Crowley, and we do a mashup between War Pigs and Nirvana's Lake of Fire, which is pretty cool.
Oh wow! Oh my God, I would love to hear that one. That's two of my all-time. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord, yeah, you got me singing it now. So, do you ever get involved in like the writing process of the songs, or do the other guys do that, or is it a collaboration, or?
Yeah, Eric writes all of his guitar parts. Chris writes all his bass parts. Torquay does all his drums. I write all the lyrics and melodies. Sometimes Eric will try to throw in some words. Usually it's just like Eric will play a riff and I'll be like yes or no or like something like that, something different, and we'll just kind of play with it, or I'll show him some lyrics and stuff and we'll work with it. So it's kind of like a collaborative effort. You know, nobody really instructs. We try to keep away from instructing everyone what to do.
Right. Well, I always wondered how the process, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. Like, typically, it's probably, the answer is probably a little bit of both, but typically do the lyrics come first and then you put music around it, or does the music come first and then you try to think of something badass to go with the cool music?
It depends. If Eric has something like particularly badass, we'll write to it. And, Into the Sea, he had some ideas for it, and he wanted to do kind of like a pirate song. So I wrote a pirate song kind of lyrically, you know, metaphorical style pirate song, and he just kept building on it. It's always different, you know. Sometimes it takes us like one day and we'll just like have like a whole song done that's pretty much not going to change too much, or then sometimes it's just like working on it. You get a guitar riff, you know it's good. You get an opening verse and you know it's good, and you don't know where to go from there until we get with Chris and Chris is playing the bass and you can just like kind of feel where it's going to go next, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, I always wondered how that, I get a lot of musicians on here and I usually ask that question, but yeah, it's just like, God, I don't know. When I was a teenager, I'm like, let me see if I can write a song. And then I got, you know, like halfway through it, I'm like, fuck this, man. You know, it's just, it's hard. And people, you know, music is just so ingrained into society and it's just such a natural thing. People don't realize just all the work that goes into it. So, but
yeah,
I wanted to ask, because I felt like a little bit of a King Diamond vibe, which is kind of a roundabout way of saying there's an Evanescence vibe to it too. Like, are they, you know, are they inspiration for you guys at all, or who does?
I love Amy Lee. I think she's obviously an amazing vocalist and stuff. And I grew up listening to a lot of her stuff, but I'm not sure about the first one. I'm not sure who they are, but King Crimson, I know, is one of Eric's big influences. We also like a lot of older blues stuff. We try to mix kind of like a blues with like a really hard rock, like metal-ish kind of feel. I think it was a lot of Zeppelin, a lot of Rush influences the guys like a lot. And then I'm really influenced by like Tool and Perfect Circle and like All Manners work.
Nice. You just named two of the best names you could possibly mention. Tool, which I think is the absolute best band ever. I mean, I really do.
Me too.
Their music is just so thorough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It has all the elements.
Yeah. Do you like classical music at all?
Oh, of course.
Okay, because you know the old saying about Mozart was like, you know, his music was on a genius level because there was just so much depth to it. That's the same way I feel about Tool.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Tool is one of the only bands, I mean, every one of their songs I can listen to and appreciate. They're just, everything about them is good. There's nothing, you're never embarrassed putting on a Tool song for someone, where, not even embarrassed, but you never feel like, it gets better, because it's always good. It's just all around, always really, all their songs are kind of an experience.
Yeah, that's a great word, because literally, like, this is embarrassing, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I have literally been moved to tears by their music. It's just
me too.
Really?
Get a couple of Green's and play some of their stuff. I mean, I might, you know, if I'm alone, I'll definitely tear up for some of that, because, I mean, he had with his mom and stuff, has so many, I mean, he definitely put his emotion into his music so much.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of Rosetta Stone. That song Like, it's not even one of their more popular ones.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just so relentless. You know, like, if they go into a guitar riff or a drum beat, it, like, you know, your brain is, like, expecting it to end on, like, the 8th beat or the 16th beat. They'll go, like, you know, 64 beats with it. And it's, you know what I mean? And it's just like...
Yeah, and then give you, and then you're so ready for whatever it is that when they give it to you, it's just like, oh, my gosh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. See, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now. So, but no, the you said King Crimson. King Diamond was the band I mentioned. And as an Evanescence fan too, Evanescence is kind of like King Diamond meets Andrew Lloyd Webber to me. So if a lot of King Diamond's stuff is weird, but like just musically like awkward in the weird sense. But you know, some of the stuff, like, man, there's some really good guitar playing going on. So you should check them out sometime. But they're nowhere near in the same conversation as Tool or any of those guys. But anyway. But so who's somebody that inspires you lyrically? We talked about the band. Who do you get inspired by lyrically? We mentioned Amy Lee a little bit.
I mean, her, as far as her vocal quality is very inspiring. I really probably just take from experience. When I look at, like, vocalists to look at, I mean, lyrical content is a huge thing to me. So that's why, you know, obviously Tool is great like that. But if I'm, like, looking at another person for inspiration, it's usually, like, the way they sing. Like, Robert Plant's awesome. We're all a big fan of a Finnish band called Nightwish, which they always have a female singer. They've had three, but they're always amazing, and they just do some incredible arena rock music. And I don't know, I really look at just different kind of singers and see where they can go with things and stuff like that, because lyrics are always pretty much about either something that, like, is metaphorically or literally something that I have experienced before, have watched happen, or something I've thought about, or something like that. It's not, I don't usually go after other people's ways of writing, I guess, because I guess when I was younger, I did a lot of poetry and stuff, so a lot of the times I'll write a poem first, and then I'll just keep that as a reference and use it for lyrics, like, way later.
Right. Well, yeah, you mentioned Rush a couple of times. Did you happen to catch, I don't know if you watched the Olympics at all, because they played it ad nauseum during the Olympics, but Walmart has a commercial now where Rush is the music playing in the background, the working man song.
Yeah, loved it. I saw that on YouTube. God.
I mean, I'm kind of glad, because that's one of my favorite Rush songs. I'm kind of glad, like, that it's getting airplay and being appreciated. But, God damn it, why does it have to be Walmart that's doing it?
Of course, of all people. I know, it's always great to see bands that are so great, like Rush, get, like, recognition after they haven't been as popular. But I know Walmart, because they're a shitty company, but...
God, I could tell you some horror stories, like, because I used to be a sales rep, and I had, so my three main accounts were Target, Kmart, and Walmart, and Target was by far the smartest of the group, Kmart was by far the stupidest of the group, and Walmart was by far, like, the most stuck up and snobby and just arrogant of all three of them, and they were somewhere, some of them were smart, some of them were stupid. But if you went in their back room, I mean, there was, which I had to do to go to their offices and get signatures and that stuff. You go in their back room, and there would be pictures of Sam Walton in, like, these, like, Jesus-esque poses, you know, like with his arms spread out, like speaking to the masses. And it was like, it was kind of freaking creepy, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's hilarious. That is really hilarious.
Yeah. It's like, geez, you know, where's the stained glass, and do I need to take Sam Walton communion to get a signature for these posters?
I know, yeah. It's like bow and leave penance or whatever.
right. say 10 Hail Sam's Clubs and go on. So, but anyway, whatever happened with that radio station vote you guys were working on about a month ago? Whatever happened with that? Like, I didn't even know what I just knew I called in and voted. Then you got.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you got the.
We got played on KLS for the band Stergo, and they were. they played two of our songs, and we were voted to stay, and we on the website, were voted to stay mostly. So at the end of the year, the bands who are most voted to stay play a show, but beyond that, it was cool to get to talk to the radio people and get our songs played live and stuff. We got a lot of good advice and stuff.
Right. So, did it help you out? Did your Facebook page get a lot more likes that day?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely helped us out. We definitely got a whole bunch of views and listened to on our stuff. It was really cool, and they were very nice to us, and they have kept in contact with us and, you know, told us, you know, send us, when we redo everything, to send it back to them and stuff, so...
Nice. Well, we're getting short on time here. We got to hit our lightning round here in a couple minutes. But I do want to hit this before. Did you catch the irony? Because I saw the picture where it was whatever you were modeling for, because I know you do different companies. But the one where you were wearing the hat that said number 69 on the front of it. Did you catch the irony of that, since you were the number 69 top 100 sexiest woman last year?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. That is so funny.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, like your trademark there for at least 2013 anyway.
Yes, the most sexually derogative number.
Right. Yeah, now, see, I'm not even going there. I mean, I'm just trying to think of it as a number without any of the spikes.
Oh, yeah, specifically because I think that hat said something under that.
Yeah. Well, if you go to your bio page, we actually use that picture, and whatever it said under the number 69, we airbrushed that out. So it just
funny.
Looked like you were probably saying, "Look
awesome,
at me, I was
you.
Number 69." Yeah. So anyway, so all right, let's go ahead and hit your lightning round here. If you are mentally prepared, I'm going to go ahead and hit the music for it as soon as I can find it, because I have a bad habit of misplacing it. All right, here we go. Here's the lightning
round. The lightning round.
All right, do you feel like kicking these questions in the balls?
Yes.
All right, you can have some different ones than you had last year. All right, here we go. Question number one, chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Oh, my God, Brianna, you are the first person to answer that question correctly. Everybody so far has said chocolate. You're the first person that actually agrees with me that vanilla is better.
I actually don't like chocolate. Everyone always thinks that's weird.
Well, I don't dislike chocolate, but yeah, you're
white chocolate.
You like what chocolate?
Yeah, I like white chocolate.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, being a girl like that, you know, that's like a prerequisite that you have to like chocolate. So that's, yeah, nice job. All right, question number two. Have you ever struck out / missed the winning shot in a big sporting contest? And if so, were you forced to apologize to Tony the Tiger for it as a result?
No, but that would have been awesome.
Right. That is effective. To me, and believe me, I could go out on a tangent, that is the very decline of Western civilization, in my opinion, because everybody growing up thought, no matter what they did wrong, no matter what went wrong in their lives, everything could be remedied by eating three bowls of Frosted Flakes and talking to a cartoon tiger. So, you know. Tony,
for the week.
I accidentally ran over my dad with a car. That's okay, slugger. Just eat three bowls of Frosted Flakes. Anyway. all right. Question number three, these brand new Kenmore appliances, or what's behind door number three?
What's behind door number three?
There you go. Nobody needs a washer and dryer. You may as well take the risk. All right, number four is a two-part question. Are you now, or have you ever been, on a ramen noodle every night budget? And furthermore, does seeing ramen noodle in your local grocery store aisle make you want to punch Dennis Haysbert in the face?
Yes and yes. I've definitely lived off that and tried to make it creative and many times, which always is never that good. Like, try to fry it up or do something different with it. And I kind of now it just, like, psychologically makes me kind of sick.
Right. Well, they've had
but
a study.
Sometimes I'll do it. Sometimes I'll do it.
I still eat them every once in a while, but
every once in a while.
They did a study that, like, if somebody literally is eating ramen noodles every night, like, the way they hold the noodles together is with the wax, and that wax can, like, build up in your system, like, really, really quickly. So,
I heard that, and I remember I was telling, like, Eric, like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. We have so much of this wax built up in our system, because, yeah, definitely. That's definitely been in situations where I couldn't even get that out of my system because there was so much.
Right. So, all right, question number 5. I'm not sure which way to go here. You said you like classical, so I'm gonna go the classical route. Richard Wagner or Anton Bruckner?
Wagner. Wagner.
Okay. I would have to lean towards
Bruckner. Got a Wagner amp.
But, see, both of them were kind of on the heavier side of classical. I mean, back in the day, that was heavy metal, you know, so that's kind of when... I'll ask you the other one, too. Shirley Manson or Amy Lee?
Shirley Manson for the attitude.
Good answer. I'm going to give you the cheer on that. I owe you a cheer for wanting to punch Dennis Haysbert in the face, too, by the way. So, all right, number 6. What would be the worst part of attending this year's Oscar Awards? All the Gravity fans wearing spacesuits and pretending to be weightless, or actually being pulled into the orbit of Khloe Kardashian's ass?
I think definitely Khloe Kardashian.
That's very good. Brianna, you're batting 1,000 tonight, huh? I don't know, man. You're in the zone tonight. Question number 7, Betty or Veronica?
Veronica.
Oh, my God. How can you keep up with this?
But I do always make friends with lovely Betty girls.
Okay, but you like the ravenous black hair and the bad attitude, which is what makes Veronica... So this is why we dedicate a whole bunch to you, because everything about you is perfect. All right, question number 8. Now, this is a tough one. We're going to play Price is Right. We show the actual retail price as $9.99 for this box of Clairol Nice and Easy Perfect 10 Hair Color Kit. Brianna Garcia, is the actual retail price higher or lower?
Lower.
Ah.
Is it higher?
Yeah, the actual retail price is $11.97 at Walmart.
Oh, I buy my hair dye for like $3.99.
All right, so you're getting a good discount on it. All right, we'll throw that one out. You're still betting 1,000. All right, number 9, worst name for somebody about to be audited by the IRS: Rich Feller. Rich Feller or Iona Goldmine?
Iona Goldmine.
I don't know that there is a wrong answer. If you're about to get audited, Iona Goldmine or Rich Feller, you may as well just kiss your own ass goodbye at that point, I think. All right, number 10. If we could enter an alternate universe where we could combine the Megadeth song. The Megadeth song's Ashes in Your Mouth with Head Crusher, would we then name that new song Ashes Crusher or Head in Your Mouth?
Head in Your Mouth.
Absolutely. And there's nothing dirty about that name either. All right, number 11, last year we did Sexiest Woman Alive. Who is the sexiest man alive?
I'll have to say my boyfriend.
You are, definitely is the only legal answer that you're allowed to give. All right, and last but not least, question number 12. And you live out in L.A., so I think you might give the wrong answer here, but number 12, should manscaping be penalized by death?
Should man what?
Should manscaping be penalized by death?
No.
God, you were doing so good. See, but you have the L.A. perspective. Probably everybody out there on the left coast manscapes. They all probably take the clippers and carve them.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of them.
Right.
But,
so.
You know, there's some much more annoying bikers.
Right. Well, I don't know. Here in Ohio, if you get caught manscaping, people tend to take away your man card and kick your ass. That's all I'm going to say for that. So, all right. Anyway, so thank you so much for being on the show. Please take
thank
the next.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, I talked about this off the air, but make sure you're tuning in March 17th on Twitter.
I will.
9:30 p.m. Eastern time to catch where you're going to rank in this year's top 100. I think Brianna Garcia fans are not going to be disappointed. So anyway, but yeah,
yay.
Please take the next minute. Let people know where they can find you on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever you are. The next minute's yours.
Awesome. So you can find me on Brianna Garcia, B-R-I-A-N-N-A, Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A, .tumblr.com, Brianna Lust on Twitter and Instagram, and Facebook.com/BriannaDollface.
Right. And just so people are aware, your Twitter handle is a new one, so if they were linked somehow to your old one, then that
yeah,
linking...
now they'd have to go. You have to add me on Brianna Lust.
Yep. It's so weird the way that works, because, like, we had your bio page, it linked to the old one, and it didn't work, but yet we were still following you. Like, we didn't lose the followership to you, but...
Yeah, it didn't forward any of, like, the stored, I guess, saved information, but it updates the followers.
Right. So anyway, all right, cool. So have fun. Hopefully your car didn't get towed this year, and, you know... Have a good California sunset coming up. So, and then again, you know, anytime you want to come back on here, you just say the word and it's done.
Thank you so much, Johnny. I hope you have a great night.
All right, you too. So, all right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for Brianna
bye.
Garcia. And bye-bye. And when we get back, we're going to have actress Ellen Dubin. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Bye.
Hey, player, is you tired of blinging your gear, flashing your squiller, and cruising around for dimes in your whip with no bass? Don't hate the player, my Nichols. Hate the game.
I'm loving how it's going in the Akron scene, cause I'm rolling with the dudes and they act as mean. Always come around here when they asking me. I cause catastrophes the way it has to be. This is Tony Sin, man, yeah, and this is Sound Screw. What's on the beat? Yo, it's like we bringing sound, dude. I ain't never slowing down, it's not loud, dude. Haters in the dark trying to hide.
So you wanna hear the bomb stuff, sick of the videos. Middle finger up and stay rapping for my city, yo. Tune to the hip-hop style, this is the bomb. Ain't you heard smartmarkradio.com. So you wanna hear the bomb stuff, sick of the videos. Middle finger up and stay rapping for my city, yo. Tune to the hip-hop style, this is the bomb. Ain't you heard smartmarkradio.com.
Wednesday nights at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on smartmarkradio.com. The following is a special Smart Asses Radio Sports Update. Welcome back to the 44th Annual Blind All-Stars Golf Tournament here at Royal Melbourne Golf Club. I'm Summer Patterall, and now let's go live to Nigel Barnsworth on the first hole as Stevie Wonder still tries to tee off.
Thank you, Summer. Stevie Wonder is already 77 strokes away. Make that 70, 79, 82 strokes over par, and has yet to hit the ball. Swing, miss. Swing, miss. Swing, miss. Swing, miss. Swing, miss. Well, there you have it. Stevie Wonder now 89 strokes over par, steps away from the tee acrimoniously, the heat. Attempts to break the club over his knee, misses gratuitously, and trips over the ladies' tee. Let's go 4 yards up the fairway, shall we, to Jack Pot, who has the call, as Ray Charles sits at 274 strokes over par and is still attempting to take his second shot.
To become a smartassaholic, check out our online magazine at smartasses.net for replays of our radio show's audio humor, pay-per-view predictions, the Smartasses Hot Chick of the Month, and official Smartasses paraphernalia, as well as entertainment articles, videos, celebrity news, free sarcastic e-cards, geek culture, and one of the four largest annual top 100 sexiest women lists in the world.
I always know I can count on you, mighty Hercules.
You only had one sandal, Jason, which means you were meant to be king of Ulysses. Why are you laughing?
Hercules! Oh, it's most amusing. Argo said he wanted to pass the time by having a drink while we sail on our quest to find the Golden Fleece.
And what's so funny about that?
Well, it's comical, Hercules, because he got drunk on his own wine and passed out. So Castor and Pollux and myself put his hand in hot water so that he would pee himself. Then we all found writing utensils and drew on his face.
By the gods, listen now. Remember what I'm going to say. Never draw on the host.
But Hercules, I don't understand. I thought when someone passed out at their own party, they were considered fair game,
And who bought you that glass of wine you hold in your hand?
I'm sorry, mighty Hercules. You are right.
Well done, lad. Now you'll grow up to be fine and strong.
I just hope I'm as wise as you are one day, Hercules.
And you will be, my boy, because you have a strong will.
Thanks, Hercules. And right now, I'm going to do what Laertes said we should do all along. And that's blow pepper up his nose and glue a banana to his hand so maybe he won't notice that he pissed himself. See ya.
Bye then.
You know what they say, Hercules. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
He's 35.
Looking for more smartasses? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartasses.net. You can also find us on funnierdie.com/smartassesnet. And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr at smartassesnet.tumblr.com.
So, Ricky, how about that soundbite, man?
Oh, you're terrible. And your show is terrible. If it weren't for Geek Goddess Jackie, I'd have already downloaded it, put it on a floppy, just so I could wipe my ass with it.
Well, that's really...
Oh, you hear that noise? That's you. You just told a joke. And what's that? What's that? Is that applause? No. Oh, is that laughter? No, that's a pin dropping. Your audience hates you.
I hate you. That's not really...
You are not smart. You stupid asses. You should be called stupid asses. Well, you're leaving. Rude.
Come to me no more, Moses. When are you going to bring me real proof of your god? And when are you going to let my people go? All that they ask is to sit at the foot of Mount Sinai, to warm their souls by the burning bush of God, and to listen to Smartasses Radio.
To interact with Smartasses Radio live on the air, follow us on Twitter and tweet your thoughts to the hosts at SmartassesNet using the hashtag HailJackie. Smartasses Radio. To call in and talk to the hosts, dial 646-478-5863. Or click on the blue letter S to call in via Skype.
Are you aware of what you make me feel, baby? Right now I feel invisible to you, like I'm not real. Didn't you feel me lock my arms around you? Why'd you turn away? Here's what I have to say. I was left to cry.
And now, back to Smartasses Radio.
Am I just some chick you place beside you? Take somebody's place. When you turn around, can you recognize my face? You used to
right, welcome back, folks. You know her from the television series The Collector, pardon me, and of course Napoleon Dynamite, and she is the star of the upcoming live-action sci-fi web series Starfall. Actress Ellen Dubin, welcome to Smart Asses Radio.
Thank you. Talking from one smart ass to another. Hi.
That's kind of the idea. We definitely want a smart ass interaction.
Cool. Then you got the right girl.
All right. Good. So all right. The question I was asking everybody last week, it's a little bit of a moot point now, so maybe I'll switch it over. Maybe I'll just ask both. Did you have Olympic fever, and do you have Oscars fever now?
Well, I've cooled down from Oscar fever. I did put a cold compress on my head last night. and I did watch it with a group of friends and cheered and booed. And it was a kind of a combo platter. There was some great stuff and some stuff that wasn't so great. But I always have a good time watching the Oscars. It's a fun time. And the Olympics, I'm a skating fanatic. So, and that what do you call it, the bobsledding and the skiing that almost looks like they're on a skateboard, the new Olympic sport, that was amazing. Hands-free kind of skateboard through the snow.
Yeah, that
was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, snowboarding. Loved that. So, yeah, I like to try and watch everything. So I do have a fever, and now I've calmed down a bit.
Right. At least you mentioned the ice skating because, you know, people call me weird. Like, I get geeked up for the women's final ice skating kind of like most guys get geeked up for the Super Bowl. Like, it's just, it's a big deal to me, and I don't know why. But I absolutely love it.
It's not the skimpy costumes, is it?
I don't know. I think women like baseball because the guys look good in a baseball uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
it's a combo platter, right?
Yeah, I think some of that does go into it, but I honestly gravitate towards women's sports. I think in much the same way that a lot of guys will gravitate towards college basketball versus the pros, because they're playing for a different incentive. You know, they're not playing for money; they're just playing for the passion of the sport, and I dig that. You know, call me kooky.
Me too. Me too. No, yeah. It's obviously the combination of athleticism and lyricism. It's sort of like ballet on ice, but they have to be incredible athletes. I love that combo. I really do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so let's talk about you. You're going to find this funny. I'm perusing your website, and I see the picture of you with Margot Kidder and Nick Mancuso.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have two comments about that. One, I can't believe you even know who Nick Mancuso is, because aside of my good friend Dirk Steele, who works here at Smartasses, in my pretend little world of, like, phony, disappointing things, I always said that, like, my action hero name would be either Dirk Steele or Nick Mancuso. And,
wow.
You know, but, like, they actually already exist. So, like,
yeah.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, my God, that's, like, the dude whose name I wish I had if I were an action hero, you know? Like, just think about it. Like, there's just no better Nick Mancuso. There's just no better name than Nick Mancuso.
Actually, better than James Bond almost. What's your name? Shaken, not stirred. Nick Mancuso.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually a phenomenal actor, and I think he starred with Steven Seagal and became very prominent in the U.S. And I think it was Under Siege. I think he was the bad guy in Under Siege. That movie is a movie, and it's going to be turned into a series. It's a gangster movie, and to work with Margot Kidder was amazing. I mean, talk about a wild and crazy and blunt woman. She says what's on her mind, and I love that. She's got a lot of balls, that woman, in a good way. And and Nick is, you know, he's an icon. He's from, I think he was born in Italy, but he lives in Canada, and I'm a dual citizen of Canada and the U.S., so, and he's
right.
The definitive Italian. He's an amazing actor. So I think we're going to see a series out of that. They're talking about it, so I hope the fans we'll look forward to something like that kind of show. It's like a Sopranos, but different. More like
are
The Godfather.
Are you talking about real gangsters?
Yes.
I thought that was already airing in Canada.
It's a movie that's airing in Canada. And it won many film festivals in the U.S., but they're talking about making it into a television series.
Okay. All right. Because I knew you'd done a pilot, but then I saw that 2013, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess the pilot got picked up. But okay, that explains everything. But
yeah, I know. It was a little confusing at first, yeah. So he made it
right
into a movie first, and then it might go the other way after that, yeah.
Right. Well, I saw Nick in Contract Killers, and then, of course, Lois Lane. That's funny you say that she's got balls, because that's exactly what Lois Lane was for Margot Kidder.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's so neat to work with people like you grew up with or watching Superman, and it's amazing. You never think when you're growing up and then you're doing a movie. I actually kept sitting beside her at dinner and she must have thought I was a weirdo. I just wanted to hear what she had to say. I just love working with people who've been around and have been part of a cultural history, basically, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I got to tell you, back to you, like listening to your voice demo reels, if I ever film a commercial that I expect to air sometime in between The Price is Right and The Bold and The Beautiful, you're my gal. Yeah, I mean, you literally have the perfect voice for selling Activia and Clean Smelling Game. Like, you just have that voice, you know?
I call it my American Kate Blanchett. That's what they call them here. When I'm doing an audition, they'll go, can you do sort of that lyrical, nice, sophisticated sound, not British, but sound like Kate Blanchett American? I said, sure I can. So that's why I'm the voice of World of Color at Disneyland. It's one of those mellifluous, sultry, but quiet, but fantasy-like voices. So there you go. Thank you. I will take you up on that. I'll do your commercial.
First, I have to create a product that actually fits into that, that little niche. But it's something else I also heard too. You know how the only way I can describe this is, you know how smell can kind of bring back memories. Voice can do that for me also. And as much as this makes zero sense, something about your animation reel started bringing back like visions of the '90s X-Men cartoons, and shockingly.
Oh, wow.
On your serious demo, where you were doing the bit about Cleopatra, somehow I kept getting like visions of the old He-Man cartoon in my brain.
Mm. You have very good taste and a very good ear, because I would love to do that kind of stuff. That's really my forte in that kind of old-fashioned animation. And there's a lot of it being redone now. You know, Marvel comics are being animated, and He-Man and She-Hulk and all kinds of things are being done, so you might hear that in the future. Interesting that you brought that up. You're clairvoyant.
So are you there's things you can't talk about, in other words, that you
might
be on
board for? There are things I can't talk about, but there have been some auditions that I've literally done recently with those kind of characters, so who knows.
I caught where like where you would be good at like the evil queen. I don't know. You're Canadian, so you
Perfect.
Probably know, and a sci-fi geek, so you probably know the show Lost Girl, and you're probably familiar.
Yes, I know
with
it very well.
So you probably know Emmanuelle Vaugier. She plays the Morrigan on that show. That's the type of voiceover I could see you doing, something like her Morrigan type character.
Yeah,
I could see you doing that.
And it was actually very good ear. That's the first voice on my demo reel is an evil queen on the animation demo reel. So, yeah, that's right up my alley. Right up my alley. Yeah, you got it.
Nice.
I'll be your evil queen any day.
Well, you know what? That's the best part of cartoons is the evil queen.
Yes, it is. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Or look at that. Look at that new movie with Angelina Jolie, that Maleficent. Maleficent, that looks amazing. That's the kind of character I'd love to do.
Yeah. That's exactly the image I was getting, Maleficent, in my brain.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Curiously enough, I actually it's not even a plug. I think I made $10 for it, but I actually just voiced He-Man and Orko in a phone app. I had to like
Really?
I had to keep the Orko was of course all electronically done, but you still had to kind of lay down the groundwork so that you could fool with electronics and make it work. But yeah, I got to do some He-Man too. Like, I don't do a very good live because I kind of play with the pitch and the bass and echo and all that stuff. But so I'm not going to do it for you. But I did get to say some
come on, Orko, let's go kick Skeletor's ass. You know, it's just...
it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, just doing some of that. So, I don't know, if it ever gets big, I'll call you up, and then, you know, you can be like Evil Lynn and Teela and play all those parts, too, you know.
Love it. I would love it. It's a great idea, actually, a phone app. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, tell me about the Russian narrator from Jimmy Kimmel. Because Russian is my favorite accent, by the way. Like, you could say das vidanya, and I might just become erotically turned on.
It is sort of like the Addams Family when he spoke French, so if I talk like this, you're going to be very excited.
Yeah,
kind of. I give you vodka, and I say das vidanya to you. Jimmy Kimmel is a funny show because they literally, because it's a sketch comedy show, a lot of those things are written at the last minute, and some things make it in, some things don't. And my agent gave me a call and said, can you do a Russian narrator? I'm going to send you this text really quickly. And I literally put it down in my closet where I do a lot of my voice auditions and sent it over there and got cast within 6 minutes. And it was I happened to be home, and it was called The Right Time, and I love Russian accents. It makes me shiver, too. See, I knew we had something in common. And you're getting off on your own voice. You're in big trouble. But you know what? In a way, you have to. You have to kind of love what you do and love your voice. So, I mean, you can't be enamored of the sound of it, or else you get caught up with that and the acting sucks. But I did this Russian sort of, I'm trying to remember what the subject matter was. I can't even remember, but I had a blast. It was great. And basically, they use, you don't even have to go down to the studio. They just use what's on there, what you send. And I don't even know if they used it. I got cast, and I'm not even sure if they used it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's very common with sketch comedy shows that they put some things in the arena, in their sort of conference rooms, and then they decide yay or nay at the last minute, and sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. But I'm glad you like Russian. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get you on the sketch comedy, although, like, because anything, like the stuff that we play on this show that I, like, I write it, and it takes me so long before I actually get a good idea for something. Like, the current one that's running, the most recent one that's running now is, it's a spoof of, I don't know, I saw the commercial for Liam Neeson's, the movie he's got going now?
In a minute or... Fast pace or
nonstop.
Yeah.
and for like the longest time, I thought that it was his character from Taken again. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, how many sequels can we get out of this character? You know, and so I started thinking like, okay, now I'm getting a funny idea. You know, what if they went one sequel too far? So that's like on the commercial break, you may have already heard it, but it's Nonstop Taken Sunday Newspaper, where, you know, he calls 911 and goes nuts because the paper boy stole his Sunday paper, you know. So
that's funny, something so trivial.
Right, exactly, you know. Damn, call 911, you know.
Yeah. That's funny. The toilet won't flush. Let's get Liam Neeson.
Right.
That's funny. The toilet paper's on the wrong way. It's gone on the up instead of the down. Call Liam Neeson. Actually, that would be funny. Funny little sketches.
Right. So that is. But it takes me so long before I can actually think of something that's worthy of writing and recording and doing all that. So I can't even fathom like going through the recording and going, I'm not going to use it. You know.
Yeah, they do, though. Saturday Night Live, the same thing. I mean, they do so many sketches, and then they say no, yes, yes, no, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, even if it airs, as you know. So.
Right. I think most of their stuff works now. I think back in the 70s, like 70s and 80s, the Dan Aykroyd era, like some of the stuff that would be like the second or third thing they would play before they went off the air was like, yeah, that was just stupid, you know. And then, my God, in like the Julia Louis-Dreyfus days, like the cast was just so terrible, like everything they did was bad. But I think they've like corrected it to where, I mean, 99% of the stuff that hits the air anymore is just out and out hilarious, in my opinion.
It's way better. It's a good year this year, actually. I agree. There's some really good people, too. Yeah.
So let's talk about your acting career a little bit. I know you didn't want to mention it, but, I mean, I have to. This was, I guess, the first thing you did. My favorite thing on your resume is Pacific Blue, because, you know.
Oh, my God.
Cops on bikes.
Yes, yes. Cops on bikes. But I think I was lawyer in courtroom or lawyer in conference room, not on a bike, which is too bad. They should have had a lawyer on a bike. That would have been funny. Yeah, that was see, we're putting it into a comedy.
Right.
Yeah, it was one, I think, my first job in Los Angeles, and all I remember is everybody was really pretty and good-looking and tanned. They had tan makeup. I remember it's the first time I was like, oh, everybody's going to be tanned. And I remember everybody getting tan makeup. That's all
right.
I remember about this show. I think Mario Lopez was in it, and Jim Davidson, and Rick Rossovich, and Paula Tricky, a very pretty brunette. That's what I remember. Yeah, it was a crazy group of people.
I'm picturing somebody biking on the sidewalk with the lawyer, like, sitting in the little basket on the front of the bike that, with the case and everything, but...
More like the Witch and the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Because lawyers are not very well liked, so...
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Wicked Witch of...
Yeah, that's funny.
But, I don't know. I always made fun of that show because it's like, how many dilemmas can you possibly write? Like, I counted three. Like, guy got away in a car because he couldn't keep up. Guy got away on foot because he walked down to the beach and, you can't pedal in the sand. And my chain broke. That's it. That's it.
Did you say flat tire? I forget.
Yeah, you can throw in flat tire. Oh, yeah. You got four shows.
Okay. I don't know how many seasons. I think it was a couple of seasons, so the writers must have had a great imagination. There you go.
Did.
We have to give them credit for that.
Yeah, it did last a while. It was one of the Saturday afternoon shows, here, syndicated type
syndication,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny you brought that up. You're the first who's ever brought that up. Congratulations.
Well, I don't know. You have to. It's just it's basically – somebody setting up 10 pins and handing you a bowling ball by it being there. You have to.
That's right. I gave you that on a silver platter.
let's talk about RoboCop, too, because you did RoboCop Prime Directives. And I kind of want to know your opinion about the new movie, because I'm of the school that there are just certain films, anything of the CGI area especially, just doesn't need remade. And I kind of want to hear your take on
that. I'm with you, too. It's funny. When I saw it, I thought, wait a minute, is this a preview for the old movie? Is this Peter Weller? I mean, it's getting confusing because there's been so many remakes. And will I see it? I might. I sometimes think they should really leave well enough alone. And if there's a new generation, they should see the old movie because certain things shouldn't be touched. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one that really pissed me off, and it wasn't CGI era, but Planet of the Apes, that is arguably one of the greatest movies of all time. And to remake it is just it's sacrilege to me.
That was not no good. No, I was not happy.
Yeah.
No. I agree. Remaking The Wizard of Oz, remaking Gone with the Wind, remaking Blade Runner, why?
Exactly.
You shouldn't.
Exactly. So anyway, you had a good run on The Collector, which that was originally a Canadian series, but you said now it airs on Chiller TV, correct?
Yes, it does. I think you're going to have to go to the TV schedule. I think it's Monday nights, actually, and I know they're on season 3, but I think they're going to start again, and it's a supernatural drama, and it's about a man who collects souls for the devil, and some things, when you're in it, you're like, but this one I'm really proud of. The story, that sound effect. This one is great because the devil is played by a different actor every week, because the devil can come in many forms, from a 9-year-old little girl to a nurse to a subway musician to a Hispanic gambler, all kinds of ways. We have many different devils. And we have a different case every – actually, I think we did have a disc jockey. Did we have a – no, we had a jockey. And somebody does a deal with the devil, and the devil comes to claim their soul after 10 years of the deal. And so somebody can have, be the biggest rock star in the world or the most beautiful supermodel, and everything's fantastic for them. And all of a sudden at the 10-year mark, the devil comes to claim the deal. The deal is over. So do people face the devil? Do people try and hide? Do people try and run away? And it's actually a really interesting concept because everybody wants fame, fortune, drugs, wine.
You are giving me goosebumps talking about it. Like, that sounds like especially the coming in different forms part, that sounds really cool.
It is. And it's creepy because the devil is kind of it's the comic relief. It's an hour, so it's a supernatural drama, but the usually the devils have a sort of a comedic thick twist to them. And I actually really like the show. When people see it, they go, what the hell happened to this show? This is such a great, one of those lost gems. I think you'll really like it. So,
when you say a comedic twist, you mean kind of like a dark, you know, like dark comedy?
Yes.
Like, okay. Oh,
black
even
comedy,
better.
Like sick. Yeah, toying with people's emotions and fucking them over, basically. Excuse my language, but I know somebody said F before, so there you go. It's the first time
right.
I said F on a radio show. There you go.
That's out.
See?
Now, see, if we do the commercial in that time slot I was talking about, there's not going to be any language like that. I'm telling you that much right now.
None.
No F-bombs on daytime TV.
No F-bombs. I'm very good at that. I've done a lot of children's stuff, so you have to know your audience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
know your audience.
Cheesy segue. Speaking of the audience, we have a question from the chat room. And he wants to know, Richard wants to know, he says, I remember seeing Ellen in Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe. What has been her least favorite role and her favorite role? He wants to know.
Oh, I'm very good friends with the director of Abraxas, Master of the Universe, which was, wow, somebody knows their stuff. That was actually, Richard, I got to say that you picked one of my least favorites. And I'm sorry, Damien Lee, who directed that movie, but I worked with a man who was Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double named Sven Ole Thorsen. And God bless Sven, but his English was not the best. And to make a long story short, it was one scene where I was a waitress, one of my first movies, and we were there for like 18 hours. Like, here's your water, sir. Pat, let's do it again. Here's your water, sir. Okay, literally. So, Richard, that was my least favorite, but I'm laughing about it now. My favorite, I think, has got to still be Lex, the sci-fi series, because it put me on the map in the sci-fi world, and it got me fans like Richard. Richard is one of, I think I know who it is one of my dearest fans, and I really appreciate that he called, and I think it's Richard Callow. So, hi, Richard. And that's why I have to go with Lex, because people like Richard and all my fans kind of started to come to me once they saw that crazy show. So
nice.
Thank you for the question.
I have to catch up. Was Lex only a Canadian? Like, I'm sure I saw it on your IMDb. I skipped it, but go ahead.
It was originally on Showtime as Movies of the Week, like Rutger Hauer and Tim Curry and Barry Bostwick and who was the fourth? Oh, Malcolm McDowell. Were in the four movies of the week, it was like two-hour movies of the week, so each one of those sort of started it off, and then it became a series. It aired on the Sci-Fi Network, and it was actually a German, U.S.-Canadian production, but we shot in Halifax, Berlin, Potsdam, Thailand, and South Africa. I mean, it was the best gig. Working and seeing the world was amazing. So I think you can get it on Amazon, or I think it may even be, somebody was telling me they purchased it recently, but I think you may be able to see some of it online. I'll send you an email when I look it up for you.
Okay, I wonder if it's, I have Netflix.
You'll really like it. It's really weird and really out there.
That's the kind of stuff I like. That's good. I just get so tired of the same old stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I don't want to sound like a movie snob, but
you'll never forget this one.
Nice. Oh, nice.
That's pretty out there. It's weird. So, yeah.
Let's talk about Dead Before Dawn 3D, because that, I got to be honest, it was the same. In fact, our mutual friend, whose name I'm not allowed to say, we'll call him Bo Fleckman, told me to watch Zombies versus Cockneys, which I did, and as much of a Michelle Ryan guy as I am, felt like a ripoff of Shaun of the Dead. Is that kind of what Dead Before Dawn 3D is? Is that like a kind of riding on the coattails, or am I missing something, and it's probably a really great movie?
It is a crazy comedy. It's an adventure horror comedy movie. You know, they modeled it after Shaun of the Dead. and that, which is a great movie. When I heard Christopher Lloyd was attached to play my father, I went, I don't care what the script says or does, I got to go work with this man. Sadly, our scenes were never together. I said, I will come for free and just ad-lib some dialogue just to work with Mr. Back to the Future. And right. We actually have a scene in the movie where our heads are in front of a character, like he's on the right side, I'm on the left side, and I was like, oh, I wish they were really together. But I had a great time. Actually, that movie was a riot, an absolute riot, to a female director, April Mullen, and it was written by a guy named Tim Doyren, a young couple, and it was a lot of fun, and the first 3D zombie movie made in Canada, so... And they were actually not zombies. They were called Zemans, not semen, Zeman. Half zombies, half demons. So it was sort of a new kind of breed of zombies.
I remember reading that. So having like half demon, were they able to move a little quicker? Was that the advantage to being part demon?
Moving a little quicker, and their brains were still intact. So they were kind of able to... have foresight into what they did, and they were very manipulative. A little bit, I mean, even though zombies, you know, they sort of come and attack people, they sort of only have one mode of walking and attacking. We were a little bit more devious. We can manipulate and do different things. So a lot of fun to do a zombie comedy, and I got to go from this sweet, perky 1950s type of mom, even though it took place now, into this crazy, vindictive, evil Zeman. Oh, I was crazy. Oh, what a wild woman I was. Yeah, got to make the noises, and I created the walk, and I was so bloody and messy. You know, there's a great bathtub scene. It's fabulous. Yeah,
nice.
You'll have to see the movie.
I'll have to check that out, yeah, because I did like Zombies and Cockneys, but I think I just liked it less than I would have had I never seen Shaun of the Dead.
That's an amazing movie, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. So anyway, what's coming up for you, which is another question Richard had. I know about Hush now. We talked a little bit about Starfall in the introduction a little bit. And then I know you were adamant about you wanted to work Burden of Freedom into the conversation. So what's,
it's a subject that's kind of, I think, you know, people never get tired of. It's about two Iraqi war veterans that come home from the military to their regular civilian life, and they find that their lives are changed forever by post-traumatic stress disorder. So that's why it's the burden of freedom, of being away from the war and yet having this tremendous stress and trauma placed upon them. And, you know, sadly... war is never over, and we keep having more and more wars, and this is a very common problem. And I'm, as a daughter of a war veteran, I will be playing the psychiatrist of the male lead, played by Kyle Hester. And I'm very proud to be a part of this project. I think it's going to be an amazing project, so I really wanted to plug that for them. And Peter Friedland and Ken Ramos are the producers and writers, and Gary Hubb is the director. So and Ray Davis is one of the producers too. So I wanted to get it in there because I'm very passionate about this project, and I really, really believe that they deserve all their funding and to get this subject matter made. There you go.
Nice. Well, all right.
Yeah.
And what about tell us a little bit about Starfall and Hush now also, because I know you got top billing in both.
Yeah, this is Starfall is a live-action sci-fi web series sort of kind of along the lines of Firefly? I think that was with Nathan Fillion. But it's gritty and it's edgy, and it's going to be a very interesting character. I can't really tell you too much about it right now because the producers have sort of sworn me to secrecy. But let's put it this way. I'm not only going to be human. I'm going to have other...
Okay.
Qualities.
All right. Okay.
So, and I'm really looking forward to working for this Starfall team. I think it's going to be a really interesting show. And they want to start as a short web series and then become a full-fledged network television production. So that'll be great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've attached a few interesting projects, and then the other one is a horror film And what can happen to a woman when she's pregnant and all the wonderful things that can happen when she's alone in a cabin being pregnant in a horror movie.
Ooh.
There you go with that one. That's all I can say with that.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's I've got some interesting things coming up. And very different, all very, very different ladies. Really three very different roles, which I like. I've always been kind of a chameleon, and I like to keep my audience guessing. I do a comedy, then I have to do a drama. If I'm very glamorous in something, I have to be really, like, downtrodden in the next thing. I like to keep it hopping.
Right. That's what I noticed from your demo reel. I mean, you really are all over the place, and every bit of it was done well. Like, I really enjoyed watching it. I really did, you know. And I'm not just saying it because you're on the air. Like, if I didn't feel that way, I would have just said, yeah, I saw your demo reel and kind of gloss over it. But it was good stuff, like all of it was.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, you can tell. So, anyway, we are unfortunately short on time, and I get to toss out about 20 questions. But that does mean it is time for your lightning round, Ellen Dubin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
All right, let me hit some music here, and then we will. Let's see, I can't find it again. Where is it? There we go. All right, lightning round.
The lightning round.
All right, now you need to be pumped up like you're going to, you know, like those karate guys that are about to chop the board in half. Are you
got my belt on, my black belt.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Too hot.
Oh, God.
Oh, why? Don't you want a nice, warm woman?
Well, yes, that's true, but...
Want to get a point for that?
Yeah, you can get it. Yeah, I guess. The thinking is, if you're too hot, once you've removed all your clothing, there's really nothing more you can do. But if you're too cold, you can always pile on more clothing to bundle up and get warm. It's easier to get warm than it is to cool off, is the thinking.
Oh, but if I had a nice waterfall or a shower, I could be near there when I'm too hot.
Well, that's true.
And I'm looking at it as a warm woman. A warm woman. I'd rather know warm people than cold as ice people. But I like what you said, too. I'm going to say yes for you, too.
Okay. All right. See, folks, that's called compromise. See, that's how that
works. Yes.
All right. Question number two. Who is in your way more on Google's suggested results, Ellen DeGeneres or Ellen Page?
Ellen, it depends when you ask me. If you ask me in the last 2 weeks, it would be Ellen Page.
Right.
Even though Ellen Page, we were both nominated for an acting award in Canada called the Gemini Award, and for a best television series, and she won over me. And I love Ellen Page. She's a great gal, and I love Ellen DeGeneres. It used to be Ellen DeGeneres, but Ellen Page has been in the news a lot lately for coming out of the closet. So,
right.
In a way, you know what? I don't look at it as in the way, though. I can open up the closet door for both Ellens. There you go.
Right. Well, there? You know what? You kind of like I didn't even realize this, but like, you know, Ellen DeGeneres is a lesbian, Ellen Page is a lesbian, and you have a pretty big lesbian following. So
I do, very much so. So you know what? I'm grateful for all the Ellens and all for the all my lesbian wonderful fans. So I think that one, do we get a nice buzz for that one?
I think so. Let's give you a little crowd cheer.
Yay!
If for no other reason than you are the veritable Gina Gershon of the Ellens. So
okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, question number three. If Clint Eastwood were to make an action film about people stealing his newspaper, would we call that film For a Few Op-Eds More or A Fistful of Classifieds?
I got to go with A Fistful of Classifieds.
I think that is the only correct answer. All right, question number four. Hopefully you get this one. For the following question, please round up or down to the nearest 10. How many films have you appeared in with Eric Roberts?
Directly with Eric Roberts or One Degree of Separation?
Just either or.
I actually turned down one because I was busy, so I have to say I'm the only actress, and it's zero.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Now, see, there's nothing wrong with Eric Roberts. He's actually a very good actor, so I have to get this
brilliant.
But it is kind of a running joke on this show that he is literally in every single movie.
Yes,
he is. You know?
Yeah. No, I missed one with him, and I'm sorry I did, because you know what? You're right. Every actor has to work with Eric Roberts. Let's look at it that way. So.
Right. I looked at his resume. I think Marie Avgeropoulos was on the show, fellow Canadian. She's on The Cult and The 100, and she was in Hunt to Kill with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Anyway, she was doing a movie with Eric Roberts, and for whatever reason, it made me go look. I wish I could do – I do so many voices. I wish I could do Eric Roberts' voice, but I can't. But anyway, I go to his IMDb page to look for some movie that I saw him in, and I swear to God, I forget what the number is, but it was something – it was over 50 – and it was less than 100, but these were movies that he was in 1 year. I think the number was 84.
Oh my God! I think you're right. I think he's done the most movies of anybody in a year. Hey, in a month? No, it's funny. I have to say zero. Wow.
That's wild. That's wild. All right, question number 5. Who are your favorite superheroes, male and female?
Oh, superheroes. Okay, let me just think who I like the best. I'd say, oh boy, DC Comics, Marvel Comics. Oh, I like Wonder Woman. I like Batman. I like She-Hulk. I like, let me think, who else do I like? Barbarella's not a superhero.
I think there might have been a Barbarella comic. That would count.
Would it count? Okay, I'm
sure.
Still thinking because I like a lot of them. Do I get a point for that?
Well, you know what? Like, if this were Family Feud, which we're going to play on question number 8, Wonder Woman and Batman are the top answers.
They are, yeah. But they're so iconic. And it's the first thing that comes to my brain. And you can see their outfits and their costumes and... You know, we all watch those shows. I mean, there's some very remote ones that I've had to audition for and voice. You know, who have I had to voice recently? Oh, the Spider-Woman, what was her name? Pepper Potts, and, you know, there's always auditions for Pepper Potts, but she wasn't a superhero, you know. She was,
right.
Iron Man's a big one. Black Canary, I remember that.
Oh, good one. You could
Wolverine.
Do... We were talking about the evil queens, although she's kind of a tweener, good, sometimes evil. But the White Queen from the X-Men would be a good one.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah.
I like White Queen. That's a good one. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So
Wasp,
and
is somebody called Wasp? Remember Wasp?
You could even say Lois Lane because of hanging out with, you know, Margot Kidder.
Lois Lane, for sure. There's a superhero.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, question number 6. If we could enter an alternate universe where we could combine the Oscar-nominated film The Wolf of Wall Street with the 2010 film Kick-Ass, would we then name that new film Kick Wall Street or The Wolf of Ass?
Wolf of Ass.
You know how this is.
That's the funniest. I love that.
You are much too schooled on how this works already. So
no, I'm just it catered to me. I liked it. That was my instinct. There you go.
All right.
I want you to make that movie.
And then we'll play your commercial. In the previews. That was
yes,
great.
Not Harry. It's okay.
See, you're already writing the trailer as we speak.
Yep.
Question number 7, back to comic books. Betty or Veronica?
Veronica.
Thank you very much.
I like bad women.
Thank you.
Playing them.
I'm surprised. When I originally came up with that question, I thought it was going to be like the chocolate or vanilla. I thought most people would say chocolate. I thought it'd be like too hot or too cold, but like, not unlike you, most people would say too hot. I really thought most people were going to say Betty, but I am very pleased to announce most people say Veronica. So that's
wow.
That's good. All right, question number 8, Family Feud. We surveyed 100 people, and the top 5 answers are on the board. Name something you bring to a football party.
Beer.
That is.
I don't drink.
That is the number one answer.
Yep. Okay.
We also would have accepted one of those cakes with green and white icing to make it look like a gridiron. You know, to make it look like a football field.
Yeah, I've seen those before, yeah. And the
right.
thing is, I don't even drink beer, so there you go. But I knew that would be the number one answer.
Right.
There you go. You have to know your public.
Yeah, I think chips would have been number two, probably. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I kind of just had a thought. Like, I think bringing something to the NFL party is, it's either, like, the biggest scam on earth or the most ingenious act of laziness like ever conceived. Like, if you think, think about it. It's like, all right, here's what I need you to do. I want you to set aside a big block of your day on your Palm Pilot, take a shower, put on some nice clothes, then get in your car, fight traffic, go to the crowded grocery store to pick up a 12-pack of beer and deliver it to me. And for this, I will allow you to watch TV with me. How is that a trade-off?
It's a little twisted, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really weird. But people do it.
I know. People think they have to bring the beer, like, for this.
That's right.
So I don't know. All right, anyway, moving on. I'm digressing too much. Number 9, worst name for someone who hates horticulture, Pepe Romia or Phil Ledendron?
Oh, God, they're both bad, but I got to go with philodendron.
Yeah, there we go. Pepe Romia requires a little bit too much thought. I think you're right. Philodendron is just...
it's pretty clever.
Yeah, well, thank
just,
you very much.
Just on that edge there, yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, question number 10. If we could go back in time and attend a typical medieval family reunion... When it came time for children to sit and eat dinner at the kids' table, do you believe all of the cool kids would have round ones?
The cool kids would have round tables?
Yeah. You know, 'cause you like
Knights of the Round Table?
Exactly.
Yes, and probably with some skewers on top, too. Yes, I think they have to have a round table.
I think that would have been the mark of the cool kid if he had the round
right.
kid too. Yeah. So.
Me too.
All right. Question number 11. In your opinion, who is the sexiest woman alive?
Alive. My first instinct, because I saw her last night, is Angelina Jolie.
That is the number one answer. Yeah.
Is it?
It's amazing to me because I think it was like 2005 where she was like Maxim's and all them's number ones, and still 9 years later, that is still, despite the Megan Foxes of the world, Angelina Jolie is still by far the first name that comes to mind.
I also like Charlize. It's a different thing, though, but she looked pretty hot last night at the Oscars, Charlize Theron. She's pretty
yeah.
hot. They're classy, yeah. sexy.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
Different kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so. I liked her too. And then some guys like Helen Mirren. You know, she's an older lady, sexy. There's lots.
Helen Mirren has been mentioned twice on this show by friends of yours. So yeah.
Oh, there you go. Wow, interesting. So.
And I thought that was a great choice too. And ironically, Helen Mirren starred in Excalibur way back in 1981.
Yep.
Talking about yep. round tapes.
There you go. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
A little tie everything together. Am I going to
yeah.
get the sexiest man question?
Sure. Go for it. Yeah, we'll give you the bonus. Then
yeah,
I got
yeah,
one yeah. for you. But yeah, who's your sexiest man?
You.
Oh.
Because you're making me laugh right now. That's number one.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you very much. If you could see me.
Sorry, I digress.
Filthy sweatpants with potato chip crumbs and toothpaste stains all over them. I think
oh,
we
wow.
throw that out.
You're funny, though. Funny is number one. for me, number one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, number 12, the last question. Should manscaping be penalized by death?
I'm sure your listeners must know what manscaping is. I think womenscaping should be punished by death if they're not scaped. Women should be punished by death. A man, I think there should be a happy medium. So there shouldn't be the death penalty, but if he's really, really hairy, maybe some stoning.
like the lottery then. So
exactly. Let's not kill the hairiest guys, you know, because some people can't help it. But if they could get a little bit of a Yankee Clipper and clean it up, that would be nice.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. See, now I'm off on this lottery tangent. Like, let's just rewrite it for the, you know, we're not going to remake Planet of the Apes, but we'll rewrite the lottery. And only people in manscape are allowed to be stoned.
You know, people, maybe it's the European look. Maybe people like a little more, what is it called, hirsute? Is that the word? Hirsute? When they're hairy? Isn't that the...
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that the fancy word, like Planet of the Apes look? You know, but I think people should be well-groomed.
Okay.
And there you go.
I might have to eliminate that question because I talk to so many L.A.-type people that they all go, oh, no, guys, I don't want them to be hairy. Like, my thinking is, like, all right, you're a guy, you're too hairy, you're going to have to go to the pool at some point. Get a wax. Get, you know, the hair removal that way. But to stand there in front of the mirror and strategically carve out your chest hair like a Backstreet Boy, I don't like that.
And also, though, it's very painful. I don't know if men could stand the pain of waxing. You know, you remember that, was it the 40-Year-Old Virgin movie where Steve Carell's on the table getting his back waxed and he was screaming in agony? All the men in the theater, I remember, they were cringing in their seats. So I don't know if men could do it. I don't know.
Probably not.
We have to consider that.
Probably be tough. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. I'm out of stupid questions for you. Let's go ahead and have you hit some plugs. Let people know where they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want people to find you. Your website. Next minute or two is yours.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for this wonderful interview. I have never been asked the most amazing questions. These are the weirdest, most fabulous questions. Two, Facebook, you can find me. There is a fan-like page, so just type in my name, Ellen Dubin, and you'll see a fan-like page and the regular Facebook page. Then my Twitter account is at Gigerota, G-I-G-G-E-R-O-T-A, at Gigerota. My website is www.ellendubin.com. And also, you can click on my IMDb page, Intermovie Database, www.imdb.com, and you can see all kinds of interesting pictures and interesting facts on there and on my website. And you'll see there's even a private email for me. Do you have any questions? At gigerota100@aol.com. I answer all my own fan mail. Okay, so please send me an email, and I'd gladly answer all your questions.
Wow, that's actually extremely rare. Nice.
Yeah, I have a separate email for fans.
That's very cool that you do that. I got to give you some props for that, Ellen. That's awesome.
I believe every single one that takes the time to write me should have an answer. Seriously.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'll tell you the same thing I tell everybody that comes on the show that I like. You know, anytime you need to come back on, you got something you want to plug, you know, your TV show starts next week and you want to come on for 5 minutes to remind people, you know, just let me know. Drop me an email or a message or give me a call or whatever, and we'll find 5 minutes to squeeze you in.
Thank you very, very much. I had a blast. You're really, really unique, and I mean this in a great way, interviewer. Really do your homework. I really like that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, all right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for Ellen Dubin, and we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, let me go ahead and start the commercial. When we get back, we'll have a little bit of geek news for you, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
fellow sci-fi fans, it's me, George Norrie here. And when I'm not manning the mic at Ghost to Ghost, well, I'm listening to Beyond the Truth on Smart Mark Radio. Because they don't talk about Ouija boards, so I don't get spooked.
George, shut up.
Nope. Sorry, Mr. Bell. Say, did you buy gold or solar-powered Sea Crane radios?
Shut up.
Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. on SmartMarkRadio.com.
Hey, I'm Fred Meat, defensive back for the Boondock Saxons. Hey, kid, get away from my Betamax collection. That's it. 3 weeks in the closet for you. I am doing a new thing now. In partnership with the Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization of Greater Boondock, I am spending time with fatherless tots being a big bother to them, so they know what it is like to have a male authority figure around when they are causing mischief. Hey, there's Tom Crash, our quarterback. He's a big bother, too.
Hey, Freddy. Boy, it sure is fulfilling being a big bother to fatherless youth. I had Jimmy here wax his car and told him he could drive it this weekend if he scored high on his math test. When he got an A-, I grounded him for a week and took it out myself cruising uptown.
If you want to be like Tom and I,
hey, Jimmy,
and help serve your community,
just run down to the corner and get your old Uncle Tommy a pack of smoke.
By being a big bother for unruly tots in your neighborhood who are in need of a male authority figure to teach them a thing or two.
Whatever they want. No, you can't get yourself anything.
Visit www.
You think money grows on trees, you little
bigbothers.org or dial 1-800-BOTHERS.
Scram.
That's 1-800-BOTHERS.
Punk.
Remember, if you don't have a father, have a bother.
To become a smartassaholic, check out our online magazine at smartasses.net for replays of our radio show's audio humor, pay-per-view predictions, the smartasses' hot chick of the month, and official smartasses' paraphernalia, as well as entertainment articles, videos, celebrity news, free sarcastic e-cards, geek culture, and one of the four largest annual top 100 sexiest women lists in the world.
What kind of geek are you?
I'm a geek in the band.
Why, I'm an anime geek.
I'm a furry.
I am a chat room geek.
I am a Marvel Comics geek.
I am a DC Comics geek.
You know that, chum?
Back at ya.
I am an RPG role-playing game geek.
Well, I'm a computer geek. Wiz geek. The computer geek.
I am a crossword puzzle geek.
I'm a Harry Potter geek.
I am a Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm a video gamer geek, bro.
Well, I don't know, but I think I'm a science fiction geek.
Oh, my. I'm a Star Trek geek.
Well, I'm a doctor, not a Trek geek.
You have no honor if you're not a Star Trek geek.
Well, they asked me to be a Star Trek geek, and I made it so.
Hey, I'm a World of Warcraft geek. Fuck the moon.
Whatever kind of geek you are, Smartasses has you taken care of. Log on to smartasses.net and click the Got Geek button. All sorts of t-shirts, mugs, and other gifts for geeks. And by the way, Smartass's Gifts for Geeks is also the home of the 24x36-inch Ultimate Word Search poster. And if you can't defeat it, I'ma laugh and call you a bitch.
Looking for more Smartasses? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/smartasses.net. You can also find us on funnierdie.com at /smartassesnet. And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr at smartassesnet.tumblr.com.
Now, my fellow Americans, when I'm not off shooting zombies with my infamous Predator drones, Michelle, Sasha, Malia, and I are listening to Smartasses Radio. So, God bless you. God bless America, and God bless Smartasses Radio.
To interact with Smartasses Radio live on the air, follow us on Twitter and tweet your thoughts to the hosts at SmartassesNet using the hashtag Hail Jackie. Smartasses Radio. To call in and talk to the hosts, dial 646-478-5863.
or click on the blue letter S to call in via Skype. And now, back to Smart S's Radio.
Welcome back to Smart Asses Radio, folks. Boy, what a great show to kick off our week off before we go into, 2 weeks from now, the Smart Asses Top 100 Sexiest Women Reveal Show on March 17th. It is the gala event of the year. It's one of those things you want to get the kids out of bed, you want to pull grandma out of the old folks' home, get her into your living room, get out the wine, the cheese, everybody gets out their smartphones and joins on the Twitter party. It is one of the biggest days in Americana of the year, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. You want to be right here listening to Smart Asses Radio when our guests are Xenia Chutmancheva and Bridget Graham for our Top 100 Sexiest Women Reveal Show. And then, of course, immediately after going off the air, we go over to Twitter and have a big Twitter party where all the Top 100 chicks join in and find out what their rank is for the very first time. You will want to be a part of that Twitter party. You don't even have to use the hashtag Hail Jackie that night. You just join in, you tweet, you retweet. And by the way, folks, while I'm on it, none of this favoriting tweets is not the same thing as hitting the like button on Facebook. When you favorite a tweet, all you're doing is holding that tweet so that you and only you can view it later. If we make a nice tweet about you and you favorite it, that's the equivalent of getting a Christmas present and not saying thank you and just going and shoving it in a drawer somewhere. If we tweet about you, what you're supposed to do in return is retweet. You go, I enjoyed this so much that you took the time out of your day to plug me. I'm going to retweet you so that people see that I like you and that you'll get more followers. That's how the Twitter universe works, folks. And I'm gonna tell you something here. These girls in the top 100, a lot of their rank goes into how well or how often they interact with their fan base and, of course, with us. So you take somebody like a Kardashian who has to get paid to tweet anything. Guess what, honey? We're not going to give you any more exposure. But you take somebody like Camille Ford, Marie Avgeropoulos, Brianna Garcia, that will actually take the time to retweet you when you tell them their top 100 sexiest. Guess what? That gives them bonus points. You might want to call it politics, but it's just you need to look at it the other way around, that somebody that's not going to support you back, we're not going to continue supporting you. So that's kind of how that works. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox now. Let's go ahead and get into some geek news.
Geek news.
That's right, I said geek news.
Geek news.
One more time, would you say? I said geek news. Would you say?
Geek news.
That's right, geek news. All right, rumor alert. Marvel has reportedly begun the search for a director and writer for Doctor Strange. Names on the short list for director include Warm Bodies Homer Jonathan Levine, Brave co-writer Mark Andrews, a Royal Affair director Nicolaj Arcel, and Dean Israelite, who directed the upcoming film Welcome to Yesterday. Now, reports also state that Marvel is considering writing duo Jonathan Eibel and Glenn Berger to develop a script. Eibel and Berger previously worked together on animated features Kung Fu Panda, Monsters vs. Aliens, and Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. That is
geek news.
Let's give you some more
geek news.
NBC announced during their Olympic coverage last week the somewhat surprising return of Heroes. Most of you probably already know about this, but the Tim Kring created series that ran from 2006 to 2010. NBC is bringing that back. Heroes Reborn, billed as an event miniseries, will run 13 episodes helmed by Kring. Details on the storyline were not revealed, but NBC Entertainment President Jennifer Salke teased that some of the original cast could return, and this is what she said. The enormous impact Heroes had on the television landscape when it first launched in 2006 was eye-opening. Shows with that kind of resonance don't come around often, and we thought it was time for another installment. We're thrilled that visionary creator Tim Kring was excited about jumping back into the show, as we were, and we look forward to all the new textures and layers Tim plans to add to his original concept. Until we get closer to air in 2015, the show will be appropriately shrouded in secrecy, but we won't rule out the possibility of some of the show's original cast members popping back in. Of course, prior to the show's return, NBC will launch a digital series that will introduce the characters and new storylines. So there is your
Geek News
for this week. So on that note, folks, I want to say to you, if you haven't been to Smartasses Magazine online yet at smartasses.net, we strongly encourage you to do so. Our radio show's archives are there, new articles are being posted all the time, and best of all, even though we eventually have to pull down some of the comedy bits we run on this show in lieu of new ones, you can always go to smartasses.net and hear what really amounts to a full-fledged comedy album all for free. And of course, again, next week on Smartasses Radio, March 10th, it's the kickoff of the 7-day countdown to March 17th, which is our 9th annual Top 100 Sexiest Women Reveal Show. And next week, we are replaying last year's reveal show. And again, it was a gala. Special guests were Sue Young, Shauna, Camille Ford, Alexis Nyers, Ashleisha Yesugati, DJ Rhiannon, Benita Robledo, and of course, the one, the only, Gail Kim, all on one show. So with that said, that's going to wrap it up for yet another episode of Smartasses Radio. I'm your host, Johnny Hollywood Video, reminding you, if you can't get it anywhere else, get it on video. Bye-bye.